Nothing says Christmas like a water buffalo. For a poor family in Asia, getting a water buffalo is like getting a farm tractor to pull a plow. Or getting a milk truck full of delicious milk. Or getting a stand at the market to sell cheese. A water buffalo opens the door for work, food, and income. More importantly, it opens the door to talk about Jesus. And nothing says Christmas better than that.
Join Truth Network in supporting Gospel for Asia. Give today at truthnetwork.com and click on the Christmas Critter campaign.
Hi, this is Roy Jones with Man Talk Radio Podcast. Our mission is to break down the walls of race and denomination. Your chosen Truth Radio broadcast will be starting in just a few seconds. Thank you.
This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Today on Kingdom Pursuits, we have an encore presentation I think that's going to blow you away. Due to the snow and a lot of closings, we thought we'd have fun sharing this episode of Kingdom Pursuits with you today. No need to call in on the riddle as the show isn't live. So sit back and enjoy this encore presentation of Kingdom Pursuits.
You are going to be thrilled with the cast of characters, and I do mean characters, that we have today. Starting off the character of characters, Mr. Adam Draper. You may know him as the co-host of Disciple Magazine's Teach Me to Pray. If you were at the House of Prayer, you know him as Trippy, and there's a reason you know him as Trippy. I know him as my attorney originally, and so he took his passion for law and certainly has used that to build the kingdom for many. But Adam is one of my favorite disciples, and he's got such a heart for the Lord and the stuff he's involved with. I'm so glad to have you on with me today.
Oh, glad to be on here, Robbie. That's a pleasure.
And on the Christian Car Guys show a minute ago, I talked about how we all have 100 mothers, fathers, sisters, and brothers. Well, some cases, Adam's been a father to me in several issues of the law, believe me. In some cases, he's been a brother to me to share certain things that I could only share with somebody that's as trippy as he is. Am I right, Adam?
Yeah.
But to have a brother like Adam is truly one of the gifts that God has given me to be able to share. But just that whole idea of teach me to pray, Adam, is a real gift and a real passion that God has given you. Normally, we're interrupting your prayer time Saturday morning because this is a special time for you.
Well, interesting that you say that, Robbie. I wasn't expecting this, but yeah, that's I finally get to stay back and hang out with the Lord. And then generally, I'll just start praying and, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours later, just go, oh, hey, that's time to wake up. Yeah.
It's Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And so we've got Adam on with us, and then he brought a couple of his friends with us, which are just, I mean, these stories are going to blow you away. They blew me away. We have Caleb Byerly, who's with Evergreen World Missions. And it's interesting, Caleb, God gave you a passion for instruments and how that has worked out in your life.
Yeah, it's good to be here with you today. Yeah, the Lord's led me into many nations, and it's just amazing what the Lord's doing these days.
Yeah, you're going to hear about a musical instrument, a drink, you know, all sorts of stuff that is just going to, I'm not going to blow it for you, but believe me, you're going to be so glad you get to hear this story. And then, if you, like me, have been a Chevrolet El Camino lover for years and years and years, you're going to love our next guest, Linda Faber, who's a missionary on her way to Spain. And you know what I found out this very morning? That if you love Chevy El Caminos, here's the good news. It's a biblical car, because El Camino means the way. And so when you think about it, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the El Camino, the truth, the life. But speaking of El Camino, that's kind of your passion, right, Linda?
Part of my passion. That's the centerpiece of three divine appointments. First Austria, second Spain, and thirdly we'll be in Israel walking the Jesus trail.
So in Spain, the El Camino is a way, and it has to do with St. James, and what's the rest of that Spanish that you got to help us with?
El Camino de Santiago. It's a tradition where the St. James of the Bible did ministry and actually died in this country. It's tradition that we're going to walk as much as the 800 kilometers from St. John in France to Terra Finis on the coast of the Mediterranean. So my colleague and I were going to start in St. John and walk as far as we can, interacting with the other pilgrims, some of whom do not know the real deep meaning of life. They're confused. They don't.
So while they're on the El Camino, the way, you're going to show them about Jesus, who's the way,
yes,
and the truth. And how cool is that? And what I found out this morning from my friend Adam is Santiago, that part of it, right, is it came from the Sons of Thunder.
He was the brother of Jesus. I'm sorry, the James, the brother of Jesus, the head of the church in Jerusalem, that James.
So, but what is Santiago?
Santiago is the name for him in Spain. See, in the 800s, he died. The tradition is that he went to Spain in his life. He went back to Jerusalem where he was martyred. His body was actually buried in Spain. So then he was called.
So how do you get from James to Santiago?
It's Spanish, my man.
All right, I just had to, you know, it's just one of those things. But you know that it's Kingdom Pursuits, and if it's Kingdom Pursuits, there's got to be a riddle. So speaking of instruments. Now, you got to pay close attention, Caleb. Did you know there's a repair shop for Baroque musical instruments? That's the Baroque. And you're really going to like this one. I missed my miniature Indian musical instrument practice last night because I couldn't find a baby sitar. I couldn't find a baby sitar. You know, it is when you're trying to find a baby sitar, it just can't go to your practice until you get it. So, and of course, the last one, which is a complete groaner, is lacking proper instruments, the surgeon had to resect a bowel using plumber tools. I'm told it was a gut-wrenching experience.
That would be pretty rough.
Adam, it's a dirty job, but somebody has to tell these jokes. So you knew at the end of all of those shenanigans that, yes, in fact, Robbie would have a riddle, and I do have one today, and here's the riddle. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were instrumentally challenged by which king in the Bible? Which king in the Bible's instruments? Okay, so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were instrumentally challenged by which king in the Bible's instruments? They were challenged. 866, what king was it? 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. Tell us which king this was, and Kim, tell them what they'll win.
Robbie, they'll win some great prizes from the Kingdom Pursuits Prize Vault, including some tickets to the Winston-Salem Dash versus the Salem Red Sox. It's going to be on Thursday at 7 p.m. at BB&T Ballpark.
So if you're in this area and you want those tickets to the Dash, by all means, tell Kim that, and we'll have those for you. But if you're in Raleigh or Richmond today and you're thinking, wow, I don't know that I want to drive all the way to Winston-Salem to see the Dash, although it would be worth every minute, we can hook you up with the prize package, which, believe me, I have lots and lots and lots of wonderful books and other things from the Truth Network we would love to send your way. And all you got to do is tell us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were instrumentally challenged by which king in the Bible? 866-348-7. I'm surprised the lines aren't lit up already. I thought this was a particularly easy one today. 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. Well, Caleb, just to get our listeners going, we won't share all the stuff of this story, but God called you in a very unique way to a tribe in the Philippines. And this tribe is called the Tinanan. Anon.
Tinananan.
In Anananan. Tinananan. they're Philippian, but So, but anyway, tell us the story. It's so remarkable.
Okay. Well, basically, a few years ago, I had a dream, and in the dream, I saw a tribe of people, and I heard the name of this tribe, which is
in a dream.
Yes, in a dream.
Oh man.
Yeah.
And really?
Yeah, I heard the name of the tribe.
And say that one more time so people can hear how it really should be.
Dinanun.
Wow.
Dinanun.
There you go. We're gonna find out.
Try to say that
three times fast. When we come back, this is a really remarkable thing. When we come back on Kingdom Pursuits, plus two Riddlers. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we are so blessed, really, to have Adam Draper. He's an attorney, co-host of Disciple Magazine's Teach Me to Pray, Caleb Byerly, who's with Evergreen World Missions, Instruments of Glory, really, and Linda Faber, who is on her way to El Camino de Santiago, her mission to Spain. We're going to find out a lot more about all that. And, of course, we should point out that if you're interested in connecting with these folks, you can go to kingdompursuits.com and find out all about Evergreen World Missions, see the instruments, find out where they're going next, donate to the ministry, pray for them, whatever, you see. Same thing with the El Camino de Santiago mission to Spain. It's all there at kingdompursuits.com. Now, I'm very happy to tell you, before we get to the story of the Philippian, Tinanan, and all that. It's coming, and it won't be long. But before we do that, we've got some riddlers on the line who can tell us which king it was. Shadrach, they were instrumentally challenged. Gray is in Durham. You're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I am wonderful.
Amen. God bless you, and wonderful to be on the air this morning with you.
Thanks. Thanks. Did you ever know anybody who played a lyre?
That's all dependent on who you're talking to, who you're talking about.
Well, as the Christian car guy, I've played the lyre a few times.
Well, no, don't do that on a Saturday.
But anyway, who was it that was the king behind all that instrumentally challenged stuff for poor Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?
That would be King Nebuchadnezzar.
You are absolutely right, Gray. So God bless you, and we are going to be excited to. I guess I wish we were playing the Durham Bulls or what the Durham. What's the name of your baseball team? Kind of famous.
Well, I don't have a baseball team. I'm really less high school and college baseball, and of course, the team I pulled for didn't do too well last weekend because they were always getting rained out. But it was. It's okay. I don't complain much.
Okay. Well, we will send you out at the prize package. Thank you for calling in today. God bless.
Yes, sir. God bless you, and thank you for the job that you do.
Oh, it's so much fun. You can tell. Thanks.
I can tell. Yes, sir.
All right, and we have Bruce is in Fort Wheelock. Bruce must have been thinking Nebuchadnezzar as well, and he didn't know that I could have milked that for another two or three answers if I need to. 866, 348-7884. If you're thinking something else, I'm perfectly good with that. I would love to talk to you. But I know you want to know about the, say it one more time for Caleb.
The Tinanun.
There you go. Now, man, I can say that's a gift just to be able to say that. But to hear it in a dream, I'm thinking you have my full attention. So carry on.
Okay. Well, a few years ago I had a dream and I saw a tribe of people. And in that dream, I actually heard the name of their tribe, which is called the Tinanun. And at the same time, I saw the chief of this tribe come up to the front of all of the tribe carrying a musical instrument. And I'm I grew up in the music world. I'm an instrument builder. So when I saw this instrument, I kind of zoomed in my dream, and then suddenly got the full download of all of the dimensions, what materials it was made of, out of, how many strings, how it sounded, how it was tuned, everything. And then after that, I woke up from the dream, and I immediately just took my journal and just wrote everything out, and I drew pictures of the instruments, the dimensions, and everything.
Which is phenomenal, because, you know, anybody who's ever tuned an instrument knows that, you know, you could have a guitar in your hand all day long. If you don't know how, you know, A and E and G are supposed to sound, it's kind of worthless.
Yeah.
You got to know not only what it looks like and all that, but how to tune it. And so how did that play out? How did God?
Yeah. Well,
no pun intended, Adam. I wouldn't do that.
It sounded great, actually. No, you know, after I wrote it all out, you know, I was real interested in this name, Thinanunun.
I bet.
Yeah, and I researched as much as I possibly could. You know, I looked on Google, you know, I looked at all these different archives of different names and different nations. I just could not find that name. Thinanunun, you know.
That's a tough.
It was the first
I've
time
I've never heard it before. Yeah,
it was
I
the
bet
first
you there isn't
I
a person listening that has ever heard that before. Yeah,
yeah, and then I also got into my shop. You know, I have an instrument building shop, and I just tried my hardest to make this instrument, but I failed at it. I just could not figure out exactly how to do everything to make it sound the way that it was in the dream, but anyway, I worked really hard, and it took me about 6 months of just, you know, really focusing on this instrument. And then after 6 months, I had finished this instrument. And
it did sound like in the dream?
Yeah, I remember putting the strings on for the first time and just stroking the note for the first time. And I just suddenly tears just flowed down my face because it was that same sound that I heard in the dream. Exact same sound.
Then what?
Well, I researched as much as I could and about this word Thinanunun, but I really could not find anything. But I've done a lot of missions work, all in different nations, all around the world. At that time, I was traveling in the Philippines, and I was on a public transportation one day, and I was just, you know, driving out to this random place. And there were all these random people on the truck there. Well, there was this man across, sitting right beside me, and him and I just started kind of chatting back and forth. And it turns out that he's a believer. And as I was talking to him, we were just talking about Jesus. And then suddenly the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to ask that man about the Thinanunun. And I was like, no, I'm not asking this man about Thinanunun. I just met this man, you know? Why would I ask him about some word that I heard in a random dream, you know? But then the Lord insisted, like, ask this man. So I said, I built up the courage, and I said, okay. So I just said, sir, do you happen to know Thinanunun? But as soon as I said that word, his eyes just got really big. He leaned in, and he said, how do you know my tribe?
Oh, wow.
How do you know my people? And I was like, what? Are you serious? and so him and I just started talking, and suddenly I happened to have my journal with me that day. And I pulled it out and I showed him. I said, look, 6 months ago, I had this dream. And he saw everything that I put in there, and he saw that word that I wrote out, Thinanunun. And he said, oh my goodness. He was like,
and so did he take you to the tribe, so to speak? And
yeah, well, so what happened after that is we decided, okay, we prayed about it, and I felt like the Lord said, go to these people. And the thing is that this tribe is a very dangerous, it's in a very, very dangerous place. And it's surrounded by war camps, so it's just not easy.
In the Philippines, it's still war?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on right now in the Philippines that is causing a lot of issues, you know. And so anyway, it was it's a real area. It's that's
hot
fighting.
Bed. Yeah,
fighting
that's
some areas
that's
that are
dangerous.
Fighting. Yeah. So anyway, I was prayed about it, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to go there. And I learned as much from this man about his tribe. And basically this tribe is, I would say, cut off from society because of these war camps. And they're in a mountain range that is really big mountain range, and they live up in the tops of the mountains. And you would not believe it that this tribe is a tribe of 100,000 people.
Oh, my word. So here's 100,000 people. You've gotten this dream. Nobody's ever heard the word, you know, that you knew. And now you're going to show up in the mountain range. Did you bring the instrument?
Yeah, I ended up taking the instrument with me. And, you know, the only way to get there is on a motorbike, because it's a really small path going up into the mountains. And so we were holding the instrument above our heads. You know, we were just taking it out there, three people on one little motorbike, you know, trying to scavenge across the mountain range. And
on your way to this war tribe, sounds yeah. like a harrowing experience, but yeah. God had sent you, and he gave you an instrument,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
so you arrive at the tribe, and what happened?
Yeah, so I got into the tribe. As soon as I got there, I just started to see these faces, the exact same faces that I saw in the dream. And I was like I'd been there before. It was so weird. And then the Lord spoke to me again, and he said, I want you to take the instrument to the chief of the tribe. And I wasn't even sure if there was a chief. But we began to ask around, and it turned out that there was a chief to the tribe. And we just went straight to his house. We knocked on his door, basically, and this old wooden door, wooden house, you know, kind of creeped open, and there he was, the chief of the tribe. And he looked at me, and he looked down and saw the instrument, and it was like suddenly he was scared of it. And I said, sir?
Oh, well, we got to
right.
go to a break.
Sounds good.
When we come back, we're going to find out what was the mystery of the instrument, and what would God have had in mind for the tenanananan and stuff. In but this isn't it cool? And we're going to find out about El Camino's. We've got Santiago's. We got Teach Me to Pray. We got so much coming up. So stay tuned. You don't want to miss this. I know you don't. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, again, we have Adam Draper with us. He is one of the hosts of Disciple Magazine, Teach Me to Pray, Caleb Byerly with Evergreen World Missions, Instruments of Glory, and Linda Faber with the El Camino de Santiago Compassion Heart International and her mission, which we're going to find out more about that for all you El Camino lovers out there. When we left our hero, Caleb, which, by the way, I have to tell you, that if you're listening about this musical instrument, if you go to Caleb's website, which is linked at kingdompursuits.com, Evergreen World Missions, there you're going to see a link that says instruments, and this instrument is called a...
the Salimba.
There you go. It's called that. And there's a picture of it. There's a video. You can hear the music of it, and it's really a pretty spectacular thing. But when we left our hero, he was standing in the war tribe, 100,000 of these folks standing around him. He's holding this instrument that he saw in a dream that he made out of the dream, that he had no idea if it was even really an instrument, talking to somebody he didn't even know there was a tribe chief, but here was the chief. He opens up the wood door, and there he is, and he looks down at the instrument, and you said he was scared?
Yeah, he was. The chief was scared, and he looked. Yeah, I just simply talked to him, you know. I said, you know, we're coming into your tribe for the first time, and we just, you know, before we go into different places, we just want to come to you as the chief, and I just want to give this instrument as a gift to you. And when I handed the instrument to him, he was scared, and he kept staring at it and just being like, you know, kept asking me, where did you get this from? And I kept telling him, you know, I just, you know, I kind of made it, you know. But he kept asking over and over again, where did you get this instrument from? And after a while, I just said, well, you know, just to be truthful with you, you know, I had a dream about 6 months ago. And in that dream, I heard for the first time the name of your tribe. I saw your people. And I also saw this instrument. And I said, so what I did is I, after the dream, I felt like my God gave me this dream. And so I made it. And here I am to give it to you. And after I gave it to him, he started just shaking his head, and he had some other chiefs from that same tribe come in and look at it. And they shook their heads, and as they were looking at it, they kept saying, Salemba, 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 like that. And I was like, what's Salemba? You know, and then they said, oh, we have something to show you. So they took us back, me and my team back to this area, this little house that's called the House of Prayer in their language. And now, just to let you know, they have a tribe that they have their own language, that's their own tribal group. They are the indigenous people from this area, an island.
The Tinanan.
Yeah, Tinanan. Yes, you're getting closer. Yeah, and so they took me back to the House of Prayer in their tribe. And when I walked in, they had all these different ancient articles from their tribe in there. And then on the right side, they had all these ancient instruments from their tribe, dating back, you know, hundreds of years. Metalwork, you know, just all pottery and all this different stuff. Well, there was this one part of the wall that was just blank. And they pointed at the wall, that blank wall, and they said, this, there was an instrument that we had 150 years ago. And we had a tribal war. And during that time, there was only one instrument maker that could make this type of instrument. He died. And he never was able to pass that art down. And he said, that instrument is called the Salemba. And it's been lost from us. It's been taken. And he said that just as the instrument was taken, they believe that the enemy took it away from them. Therefore, one day, they believe that the God, or the creator, the greatest God, is going to redeem that instrument back to them. And he said, during that time, when that instrument comes back to their tribe, that's the time when God is going to be coming back to bring them up into heaven. So this is their this is their belief.
You're the legend. You're like, man, you're like Alice in Wonderland. The prophecy is coming, and here you are. Wait, think about it. I mean, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, it is. And they said, you know, they looked at me and they said, we see you as a messenger from God, that God is telling us that he is coming back soon because of the Salemba.
As you're sharing Jesus now with these people, you have a testimony that's like out of this world. They're thinking, I need to pay attention. This man is a messenger.
Yeah, and they ended up crowning me with the headpiece of a chief of their tribe. And when they did that, they said, whatever you decide for our tribe, we will follow. And, you know, I was just like so humbled, you know, I was like, and I was surprised and like saying, Lord, how did you put me in this place, this position? How can I lead a nation of 100,000 people? And then, so I went back to the chief and I said, if there's anything that I can do from my side, what would it be? And you would not believe what they said.
What did they say?
Well, the chief said, you know, if you and your people can do anything for us, if it's anything, I want it to be this. I want you to help us translate your book into our language.
The Bible. And so you now have a home.
Yeah.
There, Evergreen Missions in Tinananville.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to call it, Adam. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And you know, there you're translating. I mean, what a phenomenal thing. And then you're seeing the fruit of the Bible coming in in front of your, and these people, the warlike situation, is that improving at all?
You
said they were in the middle of all these wars?
Yeah, well, yes, I mean, of course. I mean, whenever, this is just such an open door to the kingdom. And, you know, now that the Bible is being translated into their language, you know, they're starting to learn, like, you know, biblical values about their life, and which just sets things naturally in place. And people are starting to love more. People are starting to care for each other more. And then we're just at the same time seeing all these incredible miracles take place at the same time. Like, there's been there was a drought that took place for 3 months straight, no water. And the people just began to pray for rain. And as soon as they started praying, unifying, suddenly it just started pouring down rain right there on their one spot right there. So, I mean, it's just like God is just coming and moving.
Come on, Jesus.
Yeah, I know.
it's like this stuff is, you know, that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yes,
it is. And God is real, and believe me, He can send a dream to a young American about a what? What's the name of the instrument again?
Salimba.
A salimba. To go to and you know, the whole thing. But, you know, interestingly, along those same lines, we have another lady here who God's given a passion for El Caminos, the trail. And tell us, Linda, you know, you've got your story where God's given you something really special too, and you get a chance to share.
Well, this morning I'm reminded as a Christian that my greatest responsibility is to share the love of Jesus along the way, like the disciples on the road to Emmaus. When they encountered Jesus, they were discussing and sharing what had transpired in Jerusalem. So what we're going to do, Sana Schambach and myself, we're...
Now what? Who?
Sana Schambach. She's...
Okay, here we go again.
she and I are going together, and we're following John Wesley's rule of life. Do all the good we can by all the means we can, and all the ways we can, and all the places we can, at all the times we can, to all the people we can, as long as ever we can. So that rule of life is our rule. And we're going to start in Austria, reaching out to an unreached people group called Tibetans, which are on our heart. They've been on our hearts for a long time. And then...
Wait a minute. You're in Austria?
Yes.
And Tibetans in Austria. But these aren't Tibetans. They are Tibetans.
Yes.
But they're in Austria.
Yes.
How did the Tibetans get in Austria?
Some were sent there to further their education and tourism. And they stayed and built a community. And they work at the university in Vienna. And we have...
Oh, so you have... It's an unreached Tibetan group that happens to be right there in the Sound of Musicville.
Yes.
Right? It's
So we'll spend some time with them and research the refugee communities, which are theirs. And then after a month of Austria, we'll move on to Spain and to Barcelona. And this is where we're going to follow totally the rule of John Wesley. As we walk along the El Camino de Santiago, we're going to have two main questions.
We're going to find out those two main questions when we come back. We wouldn't just spill those right before we get out. So we have one more segment of Kingdom Pursuits I'm very excited to share. We're going to find out more about Tibetans in Austria and the Tanananan and Adam Draper, and oh my word, you got to stay tuned. So much more Kingdom Pursuits coming at you. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And as always, God has just blown me away with some of the folks that we come in contact here on this show from all over the world. And Caleb Byerly is certainly one of those folks that you just have to go, wow. I mean, I'm so glad I did not miss this, that I got to hear how God's, you know, working today around the world. And again, his Evergreen World Missions is there at kingdompursuits.com. You can see the instrument he's talking about, the Salimba, and all those things. You can hear it play. The music is beautiful. All that stuff at kingdompursuits.com, as well as the El Camino de Santiago, the Compassionate Heart International Ministry, and what's going on with that. And when we left our hero there, there were two important things that we got to share while we're, you know, in our El Camino.
Yes.
So what are those two things?
Well, first, we've bathed this entire mission outreach in prayer. And that being said, the two main questions are, or one main statement, we are people of prayer. And as we walk along this pilgrimage with these pilgrims, we're going to join up with individuals and we're going to say, we are people of prayer. May we pray with you and for you. And that opens a door to people sharing where they are, whether they're lost, whether they're worshiping another God, or they don't even know there is a God. And so as we walk and talk, we're going to share Christ's love, the heart of Jesus, through Compassion Our Heart International. And we need your prayer, because feet are important. You know, blessed are the feet that bring good news. And we've all heard about blisters and getting in the proper shoes. But the main thing is our hearts in tune with Jesus' heart and share God's love.
And so, Adam, you know, we certainly heard from Caleb and we've heard from Linda. On the Christian Car Guy show, and even at the beginning of this show, I mentioned in Mark 10:29 there that God's going to give you 100 brothers, sisters, mothers, and fathers. Mm-hmm. Think of the people that God has put in your life since you've had the joy of investing in the kingdom in any way, shape, and form.
Yeah.
And then for you, you got to tell the connection between the house of prayer and the house of prayer and all that Caleb did and all that stuff. Because for you, there's all kinds of connections here and things that only that really you can share, Adam.
Well, there is a house of prayer in High Point in Jamestown, and I have been going out there for it's a Christian rehab facility, and a lot of the guys are have been addicted to heroin or alcoholism and all kinds of other things, and so I have been meeting with them on Thursday nights for a long time and just sharing with them happiness of God, just and basically what it is this, guys, the alcoholism, the heroin is a symptom. It's not the issue. The issue is the pain. The issue is the despair. Jesus is the answer. Come on. You want happiness. He is happiness. God is happiness. And lives are changed. I mean, that place is awesome.
And so part of what you do is you teach them to pray.
I do.
And part of the way he does that on Disciple Magazine, he has a segment that's coming up today at 12:30. You can hear it on Teach Me to Pray. There's going to be stuff there. But isn't it interesting to you? I just think it's amazing. The prayer is what led to Caleb's adventure.
Yeah.
But also prayer is what is going to make a difference in the phenomenon of Tananan, right?
It's the phenomenon of everything, right?
But it's prayer that's going to make a difference on the El Camino de Santiago and up in the Tibetan and Austrian and down in Jerusalem, which we didn't even get to that yet, Linda, but that's all part of the pilgrimage that you're going on. But that's the point. If we bring Jesus in prayer into our moment, because all we have is this one.
Exactly.
I've only got this one. Jesus may come back and do more, you know, for good. And but right now, if I bring him in to this one, where may he send me, making an instrument, if that's my passion? You know, you can't find it more than cool that he's been teaching Caleb how to make instruments or whatever, and then he gives him this dream, and he gives him this mission, and he gives him a man to talk to, and he just walks with him every single minute. But the thing that you can't help but notice in Caleb's story is he was living with God in the moment, and he was listening.
Yeah, that moment is everything, isn't it? Because, you know, like C.S. Lewis said, God is infinite. So his consciousness is eternity singularly. Okay, but ours is the only time we're ever like him is in the moment we're conscious. So giving that moment to him at all times is our connection with him. And he takes that, and the Holy Spirit changes lives through this moment, this instant of connection with him.
And he's doing that through, is the show, the title of the show is Kingdom Pursuits, because how does God take your passion? In other words, what it is that he's been building in you, desire for making it a musical instrument, or a desire for the law, or understanding those complex ideas, or a desire for a different people group, or a desire to find out about this Spanish trail, whatever it is that he's given you this, you know, that was a gift itself. It had a kingdom purpose in mind. And he's got this really cool adventure for us. But here's something that I just want to think as we're heading into Father's Day weekend next weekend. It's just no fun to go fishing without Dad.
Yes.
I'm telling you.
Come on.
That for me, you know, my father taught me to fish. I'm not talking about my earthly father. To go fishing with my dad, there's nothing like it. But it's the same thing, man. We got a chance. If we leave out of here in a few minutes, or our next moments, wherever we go, if we do it as a shared adventure with the Trinity, because there's a lot more. There's Jesus. There's the Holy Spirit. There's the Father. You got them all. And here we go. And we're going out on this shared adventure. And I can promise you, listening, everybody right now, you take your favorite moment in your entire life, and I will bet the farm, I'll bet the farm it was shared with people that you really loved.
Hmm.
And your Father, your Heavenly Father, is dying to share the thing that you love to do. It might be fishing. It may be making musical instruments. It may be, you know, walking or whatever. He's dying to do that with you. And part of the way that that happens, we call it prayer, Adam, but it's really just kind of hanging out.
Yeah. Yeah. He's God. He loves us. And the kingdom of God is within us. And so this comforter that Jesus said, hey, you want this? You want this? You want this other comforter to come is within us. And we connect with all eternity all the time. That's our God. That's who we are. That's what he is. He's a good father. And he loves us. And he changes everything. He wants us to have, Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And it's now. It's always now.
And it's so cool, Linda, as I think about the one thing we did not talk about yet is Israel. And we know that there's something in almost everybody I know that just has a thing for Israel. I love it. I want to go to Israel. I'm jealous that you get to go to Israel, but share with us what God's given you there.
We have a love for the people of Israel, for not just the Messianic Jews, but those who are seeking the real meaning of life. As we walk the Jesus trail, we want to share Jesus. He walked.
So you're going to be praying on the Via Dolorosa the same, similar way?
No, that's not the Via Dolorosa. It's a trail from Nazareth to Capernaum. And we meet other pilgrims there. We share the love of Jesus. Yes. And we're
the
praying.
Same two questions. Yeah,
the
you see that?
Same two questions.
You see that going on. I hear. Caleb, as you leave out and you go back to, I'm not going to try it anymore, what would you like our listeners to know?
I would just, you know, I'm just really trying to get the word out for prayer for this tribe, the Tinanun, because God is doing a lot of work in this nation. He's doing a lot of things. It's not just Bible translation, but it's many things. And just pray for God's kingdom to come and to be established in this land.
And think about the warfare that's involved in this, Adam, and how much this prayer is needed. This, right? We got this opportunity. Oh, yeah. The doors are open. The Bible's going to get translated. You don't think that the Satan's aware of this and that he's going to come after that? Right. I mean, think about this. This is an opportunity to pray for protection for Caleb, for his ministry, for the resources to do what he's doing.
Yeah, all you intercessors out there, think about this. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. The Lord spoke about this come on, it's important. This is warfare, and we go before the throne, and our prayers matter. They matter, and we go before Dad, and we go, Dad, look what they're doing. This is your gospel. This is the good news getting spread. Help. Send your angels. You know, it's all hands on deck. You don't think heaven hears that? Come on. You know it's important. All you intercessors out there, come on.
You heard the message today, and God puts it on your heart. The same thing for Linda and her trip to Austria to meet the Tibetans that are in Austria and the El Camino de Santiago and the trip to Israel. You know, as she said, if God is with her, and there's going to be some attacks. There's going to be, you know, he ain't like that. And there is an enemy, and he's afoot. And one of the things that God gave us the ability to be warriors, men and women, and stand up and intercede for these wonderful folks. Well, man, I am so thankful that you listened to this exciting adventure today. If you didn't get to hear it all, of course, there's going to be a podcast posted within the next hour at kingdompursuits.com. You find out about Evergreen Missions Hearts, Compassionate Hearts International. It's all there. Guys, thank you so much for being with us today. How exciting. And now stay tuned. The Masculine Journey starts here now at 12 o'clock, followed by 12:30 Disciple Magazine with Adam Traper and Teach Me to Pray. Thank you for listening to the Truth Network.
This is the Truth Network.